So I'm a kind of systems routine guy. I put things in order and do them repetitively so I don't have to think about them. The problem is, if somebody's trying to learn from me, that can be a problem. Sometimes when Diana and I are going through life and I'm doing something and she wants to know what to do, and I'll step in and just kind of zip through it. Because the truth is, in my mind, all of the 17 steps or 200 steps or however many steps, just like that, they're, and I know where I'm going, I know what I'm doing. But to sit down and explain to somebody, that's one of my faults where teaching comes to, and I have to pray about that. And that can be related to what we do every morning, every Sunday morning too. And I certainly pray about that. And there's a benefit in doing routine like that, so you don't forget things. I know if I brush my teeth in the wrong order in the morning, I'm probably going to forget something else, because I just have. I don't even think about it. But when it comes to what we're doing this morning, it would be a crime if we let it become that kind of routine where it just, there's lots of elements involved in it, and we just zip through. We don't even think about what it means. By the way, excuse me, I have a lozenge, and you might hear some weird lozenge-y noises, but just so I can keep this thought going. So what I want to do is just dive into one aspect of what we're doing this morning, and thankfully how the Lord works these things out here on our scheduled Communion Sunday. We've already covered this subject in our study in 1 John so far. And so our first section that I'm going to read to you, 1 John 1, 7 through 2, 2, has three statements about the blood of Jesus in our lives and what it means. And of course, as we celebrate communion in a little bit, that juice represents the blood of Jesus. So let's go through that and remind ourselves what John was teaching us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the blood is proclaimed, and the role of blood in our lives, in our unrighteousness and purity issues. So most of this is a review for most of you. Perhaps there are one or two that hasn't thought about it this way. And I think it's important we make a distinction, because introducing the subject of blood, it can be creepy, it can be weird, especially to someone who doesn't understand why we are doing what we do. And if there's anybody here or online that watches this, it's so significant, it's beautiful, it's wonderful what he has done and how we celebrate that. So we've seen these three calls for purity, and the blood has been linked to Jesus for our sake. So we're just going to review number one. If you have a handout, we're in a predicament, and we all pretty much know why, but let's review it anyway. And this is from the second chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the book of beginnings. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now, there's more to that story, as you know, in the account of Adam and Eve and that actual breaking of that command. And we've talked a little bit about that in our series as well. But here we have what we need to remember is our basic difficulty. And Adam is the one who started it all for us, and we bear it all. We've talked about that as well. What he did was choose an action wanting a different consequence. But as God told him, if you transgress, that is, if you break this one requirement, which, by the way, was for his good, not for keeping anything good from him, you will die. Always the consequence happens when we make certain choices. We can't choose the consequences. So death was it. And it's kind of a threefold death that happened in the garden, that we don't completely recover from all of it until we end this life and enter into eternity. But so we have a death of the body. Never happened before. All the animals and all that life, there was no death. Physical death, the end of that nurture, the end of the growth. There was a death in the relationship with God. Not from his end. He always loves and did and does. But from Adam and Eve's end and from all that would come after, including us. The relationship is not what God wants for us. It's interrupted. It's in shadow, as we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. And purity. The death of purity in our lives. Because we were made to be pure. And when we, Adam, and of course all of us, rejected God, the consequence is death. And so that's our predicament. We pretty much know that, but we need to bring it to the surface. So we just think about what this means and the beauty and the wonder of what he has done that we celebrate when we serve communion. Number two in your handout is the prescription. So how do we fix it? There's got to be a fix. Well, A is we need to eliminate death. Somehow death needs to be eliminated. Remember, this is a threefold death. A death of our body, a death in our relationship with the Creator, and the death of our purity. So how do you do that? What is required to defeat death? And this is just kind of like lack of a better word, perhaps a cold look at it or a logical look at it. And I think sometimes it's helpful to step back into that, you know, analytical way of looking at things, and then we bring it back into the heart of things. So to defeat death, it must be survived. Somebody needs to die, but not stay dead. That's how death is defeated. And here in Leviticus 17, God is giving Israel his plan for them, and he says, for the life of the body is in its blood. So we're starting to make this connection now with the blood of Jesus given for us and the juice that represents the blood as we remember what he did for us. It has to be survived, and the life is in the blood. So blood has to be shed. It is the physical link to how we live. It carries the nutrients through our body. And so we have to either stop the flow of blood or drain out the blood, and then death comes, because the life is in the blood. And the blood absent from the body is death. Second asterisk, to defeat human death requires a human. So nobody can, thank you, baby. partnership. I'll just put this up here. So there's nothing that can really take our place. If you're going to solve that predicament of death in human beings, a human being has to survive death. The next one, defeating death requires a pure person. Now remember, our purity is dead. So we can't bring purity into this to be the human that is pure, to give our life, our blood, and survive death, and then therefore defeat our predicament. And of course the last one is only God is pure. And so we put those things together. We know this. If you're a regular, you know this. If you're new, you may not know this. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the perfect human because he is God in us. We have termed this in our study as he has no shadow, he is light. That's what John wrote in verses we've talked about, and we'll talk about some more in the future. So that's the prescription. Jesus is the prescription to defeat death, to eliminate it by dying and surviving. And so B is, if you eliminate death, then life is restored. Hebrews 9, the writer of Hebrews quotes this, second half of the verse, for without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Last week we talked about forgiveness being the separation from sin, a separation. I used a word that made some of you uncomfortable. I'm not going to use it again. It's a marriage word. But that is the sense. Forgiveness is a separation from sin, the offense that caused the death. And so purity gets restored. Relationship with God gets restored. Actually, I should probably flip-flop that, because when we choose to receive what Jesus did and walk in that, because we're walking in fellowship, a fellowship of light, you remember, this goes back right to the beginning of our series, then the relationship with God is restored through Jesus, because he bled and gave his life up and survived life, because he is God in the flesh and pure and perfect. And then purity is restored, but the end of death doesn't happen yet. Physical death, that body that dies, it doesn't happen until the end of this age. So our life is restored. And God started the whole process. Way back in Genesis 3:21, after Adam and Eve disobeyed, this little verse is stated, "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife." And we kind of gloss over that, but that was God took the life of animals, their blood, to make a covering, and started this thought in his people's head of their need to have something done about the sin that was in their lives. It was the sacrificial system that was instituted, and in Leviticus chapter 17, so we quoted part of that, the first part of the verse, and now the second part of the verse. "I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible." But the truth is that animal blood that covered sin didn't last and couldn't really purify. That's why they had to do it over and over and over again. So we have a predicament that we're all aware of. There is a prescription that hangs out there and has been given for us. And so number three in your outline is it's proven. It's proven to have happened. The prescription has been written. That's one thing for the doctor to say, you know, you need this medicine. We've once in a while had to call in the doctor and say, "Hey, it's not at Walmart yet." "Okay, I'll send it in." We need to know, because you need it. You want to go pick it up, especially if you got something really wrong with you or painful and you want to get rid of it. But it's been proven. Our prescription in this summary passage from Hebrews 10. Now, you see I've selected a bunch of different verses, not the whole passage. It's quite a long passage, and I recommend for you to read the whole thing when you get a chance to do that. But this shows us that it's finished, so that all that remains is for us to walk in it, receive it, and walk in it. So, from Hebrews 10, selected verses. "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Then he said, Jesus, that is, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Notice that last sentence that said, we are holy, but we're being made holy all at the same time. So this blood that purifies us from sin, we've leaned into what sin is, and I hope I've spun it, if I can use that word correctly, in such a way that this is a good thing to understand what sin is in our lives, not horrible and we're under judgment and God's mad at us and there are some elements of that in there. But there's hope and joy, because we see that the prescription for death has been fulfilled in Christ, and we no longer have to come back over and over and over again. We don't have to go through priests. We don't have to. There's no intermediary but Jesus alone, and he's done everything we need to do by his blood. His life. He purchased life again for us, and it's life we receive as we celebrate with a representation of blood in the juice we drink and his body in the bread we drink. And number four is participation. All of this is true, and then we come to participate. Matthew 26, and he took a cup of wine, Jesus did, and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people." Covenant is an agreement. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So since all that's true, how does it apply to us? And that's part of what is beauty and wonder we receive. We receive Jesus, his life in our place, he taking our punishment, his blood, so we don't spill our blood in that way. And when we do that, we are able to walk in fellowship of light, like we've been talking about for several weeks now. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate communion. And in this way, in this month, at this place that we are in the book of 1 John, it just makes sense that here we are focusing on the blood of Jesus. So you may have noticed that we only sang two songs in the set. We have another one to sing, and it's "Oh, the Blood." It's one of our regular songs, right? We sing it, and I just wanted to pull that out and separate it, because we need to think about the wonder of what Jesus did. So when you see those words and sing those words, now you can not just have a quick thought and it's all complete and you don't even think about it. You can be thankful. You can be intentional in saying, first of all, if anyone has never said, "Yes, Jesus, you're going to now be the one who I follow and I'm going to accept all that you did," you can do that. If you've gotten stale in your walk with him, the light is dimmed perhaps, and that's always our fault in some way or another, though the world heaps things on us, it's a great time to remember it's already done. Just come back around and apply the blood. So I'm going to call praise team up, and we're going to sing "Oh, the Blood," and after that, Pastor Mike will join me up here and we'll lead through our abbreviated Free Methodist ritual. And I'm asking you to take time to think about all that's going on here as we celebrate. It's not sorrow. Sometimes we approach sorrow, like Good Friday, the last time we served communion, that was sorrow. This is a celebration because this work is done and it's there for us. So as they start, I'm going to uncover our elements, and I'll be back.
Crimson glow, blazing of glory.
Amen. You may be seated and join me in prayer. We don't have the right words. We don't have enough words, Lord, for this because of what you've done. It's just too fantastic. I thank you, Lord, that you let us know the full scope of it. How bad we are, where we come from, and how good you are. That you did this all before any of us could even understand that you were there. Man, you're so good to us. And we want to be obedient to you. We want to come to this table full of gratefulness, but also with a spirit of confession if there's something remaining in our lives that we've held back and not let you have, whether it's something we committed or something we should have done and didn't, attitudes, whatever it is, because this is a time of purity. Lord, we know this doesn't mean that we'll never make another mistake. That doesn't stop you, didn't stop you. We need you now and today, and so we come to remember the blood has already been applied, the blood of cleansing, the blood that meant your death, your flesh given for us, that you beat and came back from, and all at the same time sit at the right hand of the Father, walk with us on, in our fellowship of light walk, and you're in us. Wow. You've done everything. So lead us, I pray today, that we would sense your calling in our lives and be joyfully participating in what you've already done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The invitation to come to his table. You who are truly and earnestly repentant of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and humbly seeking, make your honest confession to an almighty God.
Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we say an affirmation of faith together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you with repenting penance and true faith, have mercy upon us, pardon us, and deliver us from our sins. Make us strong and faithful in the goodness and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue with a prayer for inner cleansing together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon a cross for our redemption, who by his sacrifice offered once for all, did provide a full, perfect and sufficient atonement for the sins of the world. We come now to your table in obedience to your Son, Jesus Christ, who in his holy gospel commanded us to continue to remember his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we humbly ask, and grant that we, receiving this bread and this cup as he has commanded, in the memory of his passion and death, may partake of his holy, blessed body and blood.
On the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. We invite you to come forward and receive your elements. There's gluten-free bread in the small tray on the communion table. But come prayerfully. Come thinking, come thanking, or perhaps come confessing. Form two lines, and we'll get ready to receive this together.
Jesus Christ, which was given to you to preserve your soul and body into everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. May you feed upon it in your heart by faith with thanksgiving.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful.
Let's go to him in prayer. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be yours now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And we're going to seal this by repeating one of our worship songs. Here we are to worship. So the praise team is going to come up, and I'm going to invite you to stand. If you didn't have a reason to worship when you came in, you have one now. Let's give it up for the Lord.